Today we're going to study Parshat Nitzavim. Parshat Nitzavim is very short. It's only 40 psukim, but it's incredibly powerful as Chumash as a whole and Devarim as a Sefer comes to its fevered pitch, comes to its conclusion, wraps itself up. We talked about how Parshat Ki Tavo is already the beginning of the wrapping up of the wrapping up, the beginning of the wrapping up of the Torah through the wrapping up of Sefer Devarim. And now we're coming to these four parshiot, very short, very succinct, but a person could spend their lives, can spend lives of Avodas Hashem, Parshat Nitzavim, Vayelech, what it's trying to teach us about Avodas Hashem at the end of days, at the end of Torah, at the end of history, the two overlapping as we've been talking about throughout Sefer Devarim, Parshat HaAzinu, which is an incredible song, which is the song of history that we'll talk about at some point in the near future, Bezrat Hashem. And then the almost the epilogue, Parsha of Vizilta Bracha, giving the brachot, Moshe Rabbeinu giving the brachot at the end of his life. In the context of... So we'll start with the Parsha itself. Let's take a look at it at the beginning of the Parsha together. Parsha Nitzavim, Perek Chavtet Pasuk Tet. Atem nitzavim hayom kulchem lifnei Hashem Elokechem, roshechem, shivtechem, ziknechem, veshotrechem, kol ish Yisrael. You're standing here today, all of you, before Hashem your God, the heads of your tribes, your elders and your officers, all the men of Israel. Tapchem nishchechem vegercha asher bekerav machanecha mechotev itzecha v'yatshuev imecha. Your small children, your women, and your proselyte who is in your midst of your camp, from the hewer of your wood to the drawer of your water. For you to pass into the covenant of Hashem, your God, into His imprecation. That Hashem, your God, seals with you today. What are we doing at the beginning of this parasha? What did we just define? What's the content of this first paragraph as it lays out in its opening psukim? Say again?
People that are involved
in
the breed.
Not just people who are involved in the breeds. Say it even more strongly. What is he saying is going to happen right now? Exactly what he said, but a little more sharper.
Accepting.
We're going to walk into a breed. Meaning a breed that wasn't there before. Today you're all standing here in order to enter into a breed with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's why you're here. That's why all of you are here. From Roshechem, Shitechem, Zigechem, Shotrechem, Tabchem, Neshechem, Gerchasha, Bekerav Machanecha, Chotev, Mechotev, Itzecha, Viyatshu, Vimecha. Everybody is here today in order to enter into this breed with Hashem. What's odd about the fact that Moshe Rabbeinu is saying that right now, right here in Parshat Nitzavim, we're about to enter into a breed with HaKadosh Baruch Hu? The breach just happened! Thank you, Eliora. She was paying attention last time. The breach just happened! It was there! That's what we talked about the entire last year. That the whole inyan of the closing of Parshat Ki Tavo is that Ki Tavo is where all of the Torah was leading to, all of the Mishnah Torah was leading to, all of Sefer Devarim was leading to, was this concluding breach to sign on everything that Sefer Devarim gave us on top of the brit that we signed in Parshat Bechukotai at the end of Vayikra. That's the way the Pasuk phrases it itself. If you look back to the last Parsha, Perek Chachet Pasuk Samech Tet, the end of the brit, which we perhaps incorrectly refer to as the Tochacha, Perek Chachet Pasuk Samech Tet, Eile divrei habrit. These formerly were the words of the brit. We just laid out the brit with the brachot and the klalot. Eile divrei habrit asher tziva Hashem et Moshe lichrot et bnei Yisrael be'eretz Moav milvad habrit asher karati tam bechorev. Defining both that the end of Parshat Ki Tavo, the brachot and the klalot, are the brit with the Kadosh Baruch Hu that signs the end of Devarim, and emphasizing our point, which is that it's a unique, additional brit that's being added on top of what we accomplished at Chorei, which we signed in Parshat Bechukotai, in the brit there at the end of Parshat, at the end of Sefer Vayikra. If so, says Eliora, struck, astounded, befuddled, why are we then opening up Parshat Nitzavim and saying Atem Nitzavim Yom Kolchem in order lo vrecha b'vrit Hashem? We already went through the brit. Now the simple answer, without before pouring content into that answer, we already started discussing last time as well. We quoted a Rambam in Hilchot Mila. And the Rambam in Hilchot Mila pointed out, Derech Agav, as an aside, but he pointed out there, not that there's one brit on accepting the Torah as Klal Yisrael, not that there's two britot on accepting the Torah as Klal Yisrael, but there are in fact three britot. The first one is Parshat Bechukotai at the end of Vayikra. The second one is Parshat Kitavo at the end of Sefer Tevarim. And then there's a third one in Parshat Nitzavim. The Rambam says it explicitly. So the fact that there are three britot shouldn't be surprising, because we all know the Rambam backwards and forwards. So that shouldn't be surprising. The content question is what is the nature of the brit in Parshat Nitzavim that it frames the Parsha? And why is there a need for a brit at all? Because we just entered one literally 10 psukim ago? Not a mathematician, but I can count that much. 8 psukim ago, we entered into a brit. 8 psukim! That we need another one, 8 psukim later? What's the content of that? What's the nature of that? Why are these two britot back to back? That these are the three britot of Torah. So let's keep on reading forward and let's see some of the content of what is also a very frightening and a very impactful brit that we walk into with the Kadosh Baruch Hu. Back to Pasuk Yud-Aleph. L'uvracha b'rit Hashem Elokecha uv'alato asher Hashem Elokecha koritimcha hayom. Why? L'man hakim otcha hayom lo le'am. So he establishes you today as a people to him. V'u'yelecha l'Elohim, and he will be a God to you. Kasher diberlach, as he told you, kasher nishpa l'avotecha l'avraham l'isak Yaakov. And as he told your forefathers, Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. And emphasizes it even further. Hear the words, because Moshe Rabbeinu was not speaking to that generation. Moshe Rabbeinu was literally speaking to us right now here today. We are Hatem Nitzavim Hayom Kulchem. Hear the words. V'lo itchem levadchem anochi koret et habrit hazot v'et hala hazot. And not with you alone am I making this brit and this imprecation. I think it means a curse. Ki et asher yeshno po imanu omed hayom lifnei Hashem Elokecha, but rather with the people who are standing here today before HaKadosh Baruch Hu, v'et asher einenu po imanu hayom, and with the people who are not standing here today. What is that? Who is that implying? Who is that talking about? Who's not standing here today? Us. That every Jew, through this parasha, get more support of the fact that as we get farther and farther and farther into Sefer Devarim, that it's dealing not only with the end stages of being able to enter into Eretz Yisrael, but again, the end stages of what it means to go into a stage of Geula. That the Torah is literally talking to us in this here in a way where it doesn't talk in other places. We're standing here. We're part of this brit. We're part of whatever's coming next. Ki atem yidatem et asher yashavnu be'eretz Mitzrayim v'et asher avanu bekerav ha'goyim asher avartem. Because you know what we went through? We went through Mitzrayim and we left Mitzrayim. V'atiru et shikutzehem v'et gilulehem eitz v'evan kesef zahev asherim ahem. You saw all of the disgusting things that they did and all of the idols which they worshipped. Penyeshbachem ish o isha o mishpacha o shevet asher levavo poneh hayom me'im Hashem Elokecha lelechet la'avod et Elohei ha'goyim ha'em penyeshbachem shoresh pererosh v'la'ana. Perhaps there is among you a man or woman or family or tribe whose heart turns away today from being with Hashem, our God, to go and serve the gods of those nations. Perhaps there is among you root flourishing with gall and wormwood, meaning that there's a rotten root inside of you that's going to damage the entirety of the tree of Klal Yisrael. Ba'yav ishamo et divrei ha'ala hazot v'yitbarech bilvo lemor. When he hears the words of this Allah, of this curse, he'll say in his heart, Shalom yeli ki bishur libi elech leman svot harava latzmea. He will bless himself in his heart, saying, peace will be with me, though I walk as my heart sees fit, and thereby adding the water upon the thirsty, therefore dragging down everybody else with them. Very, very strong pasuk, perhaps no other pasuk like this, at the Jewish people in all of Chumash. V'haya b'shamo et div... Excuse me. Lo yoveh Hashem sloach lo. God will not forgive such a person who says, oh, I'm taking myself out of this, I'm going to do my own thing, and God won't know. I'll take myself out of this. Lo yoveh Hashem sloach lo. God won't forgive him. Ki az yashanaf Hashem v'kinato ba'ishahu. God will burn forth, and his jealousy and his zealousness will come out against him. And the whole curse will come upon that person. And God will wipe him out entirely from the face of the earth. Hashem will set him aside for evil from among all the tribes of Israel, like all the imprecations of the covenant that is written in this book of the Torah. Incredibly harsh response to such a person. Seeing the harshness, the language that's used here, very different language that's used here than in the other Britot. If we were to try to now fine-tune, pull apart a little bit, now that we've seen the psukim, we've read them, we've heard them, we've seen them inside, can anybody pick up on what the difference is between this brit and both of the other britot, specifically the brit before in Parshat Ki Tavo? It's set up in the opening of the parsha and follows through in all of the psukim that we read. Thematically, what's different in the nature of these britot? Ask a different question then. What's being promised in this brit? What happens to a person who breaks this brit? Hashem's going to wipe them out, erase them as though they didn't exist. Totally cut them off, totally destroy them. Do we ever see a language like that at all in another Britot? No. We see Brachot and Klalot, which makes sense because that's how we framed the whole middle section of Sefer Devarim last time. That started off with Re'ei Anochi Noten Lifnechem Hayom Bracha Uklala. That we started off in Parshat Re'ei. And that bracha and klala were going to happen on Har Grizim and Har Eval. Then there's a lot of parshiot in the middle. We come back to the brachot and klalot of Har Grizim and Har Eval at the end of Parshat Ki Tavo, and that leads to the brachot and klalot of the brit at the end of Ki Tavo. There's bracha and there's klala, but we're introducing a whole new layer here. Not just klala, but to be totally and utterly wiped out. To have no existence left. Which speaks to the intensity of this parsha. The intensity of this discussion. An intensity which itself plays out at the end of the parsha. And hear the words with sensitivity now. Skip forward to the concluding paragraph. Perek Lamed Pasuk Tedvav. Hear the nuanced difference. Not nuanced. Hear the difference now that we're sensitive to it. But it's not nuanced at all. It's very clear. Re'ei, sound familiar? Re'ei, natati lifanecha hayom et hachaim ve'et hatov ve'et hamavet ve'et hara. Never introduced to terms like that. Re'ei introduced us to the dichotomy in life of bracha and klala, that we live in a world of bracha, and if we break it, it becomes a world of klala. But never framed with such intensity as Chaim and Tov and Mavet and Ra. That then leads forward a few psukim later to HaKadosh Baruch Hu begging us, Moshe Rabbeinu begging us, U'bacharta b'chaim, that we should choose life over death. But that follows through on what we were talking about before also. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu was saying that a person who does such a thing in the context of the brit of Parshat Nitzavim, that they're literally choosing between life and death. That that person will be wiped out, will be totally erased from under the heavens, will have no existence. That's not a bracha and klala discussion. That's a chayim and mavet discussion. But we still haven't answered our question. What's the difference between Ki Tavo and Nitzavim? Bracha and klala and chayim and mavet are one aspect. But why are we able to make this distinction? What's different about Ki Tavo that it can relate to bracha and klala, but not to chayim and mavet? And Parshat Nitzavim, what changes, what switches, that now we're talking about chayim and mavet? To whom is the brit in these parshiot being directed? To whom is the brit being directed in Parshat Ki Tavo? This is the easier answer. And Kitavo. We're missing one piece. The opposite of your point, Eliora. Giving over to Klal Yisrael. Klal Yisrael is given over the Brit of Kitavo. We're told what's going to happen to us as a people. As a people, we're entering into the Brit of Kitavo. It's the conclusion, it's the summing up, it's the wrapping up, it's the Brit on Devarim, the additional Brit of the Mishnah Torah, for all of Klal Yisrael to take upon themselves, on top of the Brit that we as Klal Yisrael took on at Har Sinai. But here, that's not where it ends. There's another layer of Brit that's introduced in Parshat Nitzavim. And the layer of Brit Nitzavim is to whom, Eliora? That's to the individual. Now when you go back, hear it. You can't miss it. Look at the way that it's framed. Atem Nitzavim Hayom Kulchem Lifnei Hashem Elokechem. Where else do we see this kind of specification? Roshechem, Shiftechem, Ziknechem, Veshotrechem, Kol Ish Yisrael, Tapchem, Nishechem, Vegercha, Asher Bekerav Machanecha, Meichotei Vitzecha, V'yad Shoev Memecha. We took two whole psukim just to specify that every single individual is standing there. Because this is the Brit of the individual. Why is it that the Brit of Klal Yisrael is in the context of Bracha and Klala, but the Brit of the individual is in the realm of Chaim and Mavet? Why the switch?
Because all of Klal Yisrael in everything that didn't count.
And?
So then that's not something that can be said in the realm of Klal Yisrael.
Keep going. See the harsh reality then of the flip side? But that's not necessarily true of each individual. Right? So let's unpack what Dana's saying. Dana's pointing out and the essence of what it means to be part of Klal Yisrael. Klal Yisrael emanates from an eternal source. Klal Yisrael is guaranteed eternity. Klal Yisrael will endure. Klal Yisrael will go on. Klal Yisrael will never end. And it can be that there are going to be times dependent on what we as Klal Yisrael choose to do as a Klal. There will be times that we experience tremendous bracha. And if we as a Klal make the wrong choices, lo aleinu, which we've seen in our history, the Klalot come to be pasuk by pasuk in the most painful of ways. We can bring about the reality of Klala. But whether we exist in bracha or klala is up to us, but Klal Yisrael will endure. Parshat Nitzavim switches the emphasis. And Parshat Nitzavim shares with us a very scary and empowering reality, which is that while Klal Yisrael will always endure, there is no guarantee made to each of the individuals in Klal Yisrael that they will necessarily endure. We're given the choice to either make our lives or break our lives. To be a part of the history of Klal Yisrael that goes to the end of days, or to rip ourselves out of that and to be wiped out from the pages of history. To truly live on all layers of being, Chaye Shah and Chaye Olam. To live a true life, or Lo Aleinu, to either live a life of death or to experience Lo Aleinu death itself. There's no guarantee on the individual that we will necessarily be a part of the process of Klal Yisrael, which is eternal. That's up to each and every one of us. And Parshat Nitzavim, again, as Devarim reaches more and more of this fevered pitch, even moves out of the tremendously complex, painful, disturbing Klalot of Kitavo, and says, but there's still one more layer, which is the individual responsibility of every single person in Klal Yisrael to take responsibility for our own lives. To choose a life of Chaim or to choose a life of Mavet. Re'ei, it's a new Re'ei at the end of this Parsha. We saw Bracha and Klal in a whole new light a few Parshiot ago in Parshat Re'ei. Parshat Nitzavim says, open your eyes to something even bigger and even deeper than that. Says Moshe Rabbeinu, Re'eya natati lefanecha hayom, et ha'chaim ve'et ha'tov ve'et ha'mavet et ha'ra. and pleads with us, pleads with us. In Pasuk Yutedu, Vacharta Bechayim, Leman Tichya Tavis Arech. That's the new layer of Brit that's introduced in Parshat Nitzavim. And a critically essential layer of Brit. The Brit of the individual to choose to be a part of Klal Yisrael and to choose to be a part of life on an individual level. Questions, thoughts, comments until this point?
Okay, so you said that the individuals make up Klal Yisrael. I feel like this has happened, but at what point do you distinguish like a bunch of individuals doing bad things and being cut off to like the whole klal kind of being at fault? Because like I feel like you can't, like you, what David was saying, like you can't cut off the whole klal because then it's not a klal anymore.
I mean, you can. We're promised that HaKadosh Baruch Hu won't. There have been points in history where we've been told God is cutting you off, God is switching things up, he's chosen somebody else and another people, and your stage of history is over, and there's a new stage of history with a new religion that will stand in place of you, that you've come to an end. And the Torah promises us that that's not possible. There's no such thing. And that's the beginning of the sheker of the extension of Esav into Rome and then other religions. Because that can't happen.
Like, but at what point does that distinction?
There's always the individuals who make up the flow of history as a whole. But the decisions that those individuals make, so they're always going to be held accountable for their own decisions, regardless of in what way that tidal wave pushes the klal. Mm-hmm. But the klal will never disappear. Let's go forward to the next paragraph. Every paragraph in the Torah is so precious, but some of them just, you don't have to dig so much. On the surface, they're just so beautiful and so precious in the way that they're framed. The next parsha is referred to as Parshat HaTshuva. It says, Perek Lamed, V'ayak yavo alecha kol hadvarim ha'ile, habracha v'haklala, asher natati lefanecha, when all of these things come upon you, the bracha and the klala which I've placed before you, v'ashivota el vavecha b'chol agoyim, asher yidachacha Hashem Elokecha shama, that you will take to your heart among the nations that Hashem your God will disperse you, v'shavta ad Hashem Elokecha v'shamata b'kolo, and you will return to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and listen to His voice, k'chol asher anochi mitzavecha hayom, everything that I command you today, ata uvanecha b'chol levavecha v'chol nafshecha, with all of your heart and with all of your soul, you're going to return to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Write words that are only brought about through Sefer Devarim and exist throughout Sefer Devarim, b'chol levavecha v'chol nafshecha, you're going to trip up with all of your heart, with all of your soul, v'shav Hashem Elokecha, it's, you can cry when you read them. V'shav Hashem Elokecha et shivutcha v'richamecha. HaKadosh Baruch Hu will return you, and He will show mercy to you. V'shav v'kibetzcha mikol ha'amim asher afitzcha Hashem Elokecha shama. And He will gather you together from all of the nations which He dispersed you amongst them. Im yihye nidachecha b'kseh ha'shamayim. Misham yikabetzcha Hashem Elokecha u'misham yikachecha. If you're dispersed, will be at the ends of the heavens. Doesn't matter how far you've gone. There HaKadosh Baruch Hu Himself, misham yikabetzcha Hashem Elokecha u'misham yikachecha. From there He will bring you back. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu will bring you to the land which your forefathers inherited, and you will inherit it. And He will do good to you, and He will increase you like your forefathers, from your forefathers. Umal Hashem Elokecha et levavcha ve levav zarecha. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu will peel away the layers from on top of your heart and from the hearts of your children, so that you can, that they won't be blocked, that you can finally lehavat Hashem Elokecha b'chol levavcha b'chol nafshecha leman chayecha. Incredible psukim of what's going to be at the end of days, with the ultimate tshuva that will happen. If you were as swept up with these psukim as I am, you might have missed words that were in it that emphasize, that were bringing out, that were relating to things that we talked about. Now that we've all been awed by the psukim themselves, let's look at the details. Which type of language is this paragraph using? Is it using Kitavo Brit language, or is it using Nitzavim Brit language? Hannah says Nitzavim. Do I hear a Kitavo? Margalit says Kitavo. So Margalit, why do you say Kitavo?
It's not so harsh.
It's just as powerful, though. It's just impactful. It doesn't mean Nitzavim is just like isn't just angry, right? Meaning if there's tshuva here to be done, and there's tshuva that can be done, and that's an incredible thing to emphasize, and that's part of the narrative, is that you can go off, and if you go off too far, you could be cut off, but this paragraph is challenging us to making sure that we do tshuva.
So that's not what Britain needs of himself.
So Margalit linked, as wanting to be in the Kitavo camp, she linked into the right words.
Also,
1 second. The right words that she linked into were
bracha
and klala. That's how it opened up. Now that's awkward. That's strange. If we just said that bracha and klala were kitavo oriented language, why is the next paragraph dealing with bracha and klala after we've already moved into the nitzavim stage? What are you going to say?
It's also like anti what nitzavim said. Like if you do stray, then Hashem will cut you off.
No, so there's a point. You and Mark Lee were saying similar things. Just to be clear, this is not like nitzavim is. There's a reason why nitzavim is only one paragraph. There's always the opportunity for tshuva. If one pulls oneself so far away and doesn't come back, then they can cut themselves off. But the immediate following paragraph is no, but do tshuva. And tshuva is how you come back and how you bring yourself back into Kol Yisrael and make that whole and create kibbutz galiot and geulah that we're looking forward to. The parsha doesn't end with that section of just the brit itself. It's important to emphasize. I don't want you to think that we're all done for. The next paragraph is parshat tshuva for a reason. The next paragraph is intentionally Parshat HaTshuva. But Margalit brings up a very important point, which is why then switch back to Lashon of Bracha and Klala. But says Hannah, no, this is a Nitzavim paragraph. Why, Hannah? I don't know why. Why do you think so?
Because it says a lot of like,
Excellent. So Margalit, how do you answer for that? Vishavda, it's talking about the personal, the individual. So we're using the Lashon of Bracha and Klala, which is talking about the national piece and the Kitavo piece. And yet, as Hannah points out as well, it seems to be talking about individuals within the context of Bracha and Klala. So how is that going to work? What's going on here? Why? Again, if it's... We're stuck either way. If it's a Kitavo paragraph, then what is the whole first paragraph in Nitzavim doing before it? And if it's a Nitzavim paragraph, so then why not use Chaim and Mavet? Why use Lashon of Bracha and Klala? So our Rebbe suggests very beautifully that this could answer a question, and also seems we've all got, might have taken us to a little bit of a too dark a place. We think there's no way to come back. But also show how we really are shifting things, both in Nitzavim and in Kitavo, from the negative to the positive. How so? So let's take a look. Let's go back to Parshat Kitavo. We noted the fact that the brachot and klalot, particularly the klala section in Parshat Kitavo, is different than the klala section at the end of Vayikra in Parshat Bechukotai. Let's start there. The end of the klala section in Parshat Bechukotai reads as follows. This week's parasha on the cycle of the year. The end of the klala section wraps up and says, Perek Vav, Pasuk Mem Dalet. In Vayikra. So after all of the very painful klalot, it says, Ve'af gamzot biotam be'eretz oyvehem, lo me'astim, ve'lo ge'altim l'chalotam l'afir briti itam, ki ani Hashem elokechem, ve'zacharti lahem brit vishonim, asher otzeti otam me'eretz mitzrayim l'nei goyim liot lahem l'elohim, ani Hashem. It ends off on a positive note. But despite all this, says the Kadosh Baruch Hu, while they will be in a land of their enemies, I will not have been revolted by them, nor will I have rejected them to obliterate them, to annul my covenant with them, for I am Hashem their God. I will remember for them the covenant of the ancients, those whom I have taken out of the land of Egypt before the eyes of the nations to be a God unto them, I am Hashem. The end of Parshat Kitavo doesn't have pesukim like that. The klalot are much longer. One could even say that they're even more brutal than the klalot in Parshat Bechukotai. And there is no positive ending. It concludes with Perek Chafchet Pasuk. You could start anywhere because it doesn't really. I mean, it only ends with the negative. Pasuk Samech Vav. V'hayu chayecha tluyim lecha mineged uvacharat alayla yviomam velo ta'amin bechayecha. Your life will hang in the balance, and you will be frightened night and day. You will not be sure of your livelihood. Baboker te amer mi ten erev vaerev tomar mi ten boker mi pachad levavecha asher tifchadu mi mar'e necha asher tireh. In the morning you will say, "Who will give back last night?" And in the evening you'll say, "Who can give back this morning?" For the fright of your heart that you will fear, and the sight of your eyes that you will see. Veishivcha Hashem Yitzrayim ba'oniyut baderech asher amarti lecha. Lo tosif od lirota v'hitmachartem sham loivecha la'avadim lishvachot ve'ein koneh. Hashem will return you to Egypt in ships. Again, the worst possible thing, to go back to where we came from, to have failed so miserably, to go back to Egypt. On the road which I said to you, you will never again see it. And there you will be offer yourself for sale to your enemies as slaves and maidservants, but there won't even be a buyer. And then Hila Difrei Abrit, that's where it ends. There's no nechama. There's no upside at the end of the Brit of Kitavo. It ends on a very negative note. And one of the reasons that we gave for that is we quoted the Ramban, Nachmanides, from Parshat Bechukotai, who, quoting deeper sources in Chazal, said, what's the difference between the klalot of Bechukotai versus the klalot of Nitzavim? Yes, Bechukotai and Kitavo, thank you. What's the difference between the klalot in Bechukotai and the klalot in Kitavo? Says the Ramban.
First one was the first thing which ended more quickly, and the second one was
the longer. Excellent. The first one is the klalot of Chorma Mayat Rishon, which was shorter, it was only 70 years, and we saw almost immediately, relative to history, a turnaround and a comeback, as opposed to Kitavo, which the Ramban said is relating to the second Galut, the second Chorban, which in and of itself is much longer and much more painful and doesn't seem to have an end. And so this one doesn't seem to have an end. Well, Rebbe suggests the following, that that's not necessarily true. Where is the end of the Brit of Parshat Kitavo? Where does it turn around? Where is there hope? Where do we see the conclusion of the process of Parshat Kitavo in the Klala section in the Brit of Kitavo? He says, that's the paragraph that we just read. That's Parashat HaTshuva. That's Perek Lamed. Vayak Yavo Alecha Kol Adrim Eile HaBracha VaHaKlala. Because what is the Bracha and Klala referring to? Kitavo. So now you have to answer, why is the Brit of Nitzavim in the middle of that? But he wants to claim that this paragraph, Parshat Teshuva, is the conclusion of Parshat Kitavo. Happiness, goodness, we're coming back, right? Not to worry, it's not going to be all gloom and doom. We're coming back. And the potential for tshuva is there. And when we do tshuva, then you see in the end of those psukim, these beautiful psukim of Nechama, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it doesn't matter how far we went, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will reach to the end of the earth, to the end of the heavens, and draw us back in at the end of days and bring us back to Yerushalayim, bring us back to Eretz Yisrael. That's the promise in Parshat Nitzavim. So that supports Margalit's point, that we're using Bracha and Klala because this is the culmination of Kitavo. So what is it doing in Nitzavim? And as Hannah pointed out, why then is it phrased by the individual? Rebbe suggests something very powerful, which is the way in which we will do tshuva at the end of days. The way in which nationally we will come back to Eretz Yisrael at the end of days. What is the nature of that process? How will that come about? That the only way that we're going to experience ge'ula, redemption, a return to Yerushalayim after the endless galut of Chorban Bayit Sheni, the process is different. The process there is relating to the individual. That the nature of the return to Yerushalayim, the nature of the Geulah, the nature of the return to a state of bracha, is from the individuals within the context of Klal Yisrael, each one on their own, seeking and finding a Kadosh Baruch Hu on their own, and then returning together to Eretz Yisrael. He brings back a concept which we've quoted so many times over our journey, not just through Devarim, but through all of Chumash. The concept of Klal, Prat uKlal. That the whole story of Klal Yisrael is Klal Yisrael is following this paradigm. That we start as a Klal. We've talked about this many times in the past. In what way did we exist when we became a nation at Har Sinai? Ke'ish echad b'lev echad. We were like one unified thing. We were one unit. We were literally one klal. We were ke'ish echad b'lev echad. And then we travel away, as we talked about all through Sefer Bamidbar. We travel away from Har Sinai. And the first thing that we do is we divide up into four encampments. We go from being one to being four. And we have the four encampments around the Mishkan. Then we come to Eretz Yisrael. And we're no longer in our digalim. We're no longer in our encampments because we're not traveling through the desert anymore. And we each receive our own nachala, our own inheritance within Eretz Yisrael. And now we exist singularly as a shevet. We go from Klal Yisrael as one whole, Ki'ish Echad B'Lev Echad, to Degalim, to Shvatim with a unique chelek in Eretz Yisrael. But then what happens next? Lo Alinu, what comes next? Galut. And in Galut, we no longer hang on to any sense of Klal at all. What stage do we move into? We move fully into the final stage of Prat. We move into that stage where every single individual is on their own. Which is in fact what's indicated in Psukim, I think that we read earlier. But to see again, Psukim that we read every year, both in Ve'et Chanan, and before that Shabbat, on Tisha B'Av morning. If you take a look, in Ve'et Chanan, Perek Dalet Pasuk Chafei, a paragraph that we talked about doesn't seem to imply choice. It seems to imply a guarantee of a process. Perek Dalet Pasuk Chafei, Ki Tolid Banim Uvenei Vanim Venoshantem Ba'aretz. When you have children, and your children have children, and you Venoshantem, whatever that word, that complex word means, Venoshantem Ba'aretz. V'yishchatem v'asitem pesel t'munat kol, and you're going to do idolatry and you're going to anger HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Pasuk Chavav, Ha'idoti v'achem ayom, I'm testifying against you today by the heavens and the earth, at Hashemayim v'ta'aretz. Ki avid tovedun maher mi'al ha'aretz. Asher atem rovim et ha'arden shama l'rishta. You're going to be thrown out of Eretz Yisrael. V'lo tzarichu nemi maleha ki yishamit yishamidun. And then again, hear it. This is telling us the nature of the flow of history in a reality of exile. This is not by accident. This is very intentional. This is through Hanagat Hashem, and Parshat Bet Hanan is the parsha, as we talked about, of Hanagat Hashem. Intentionally taking us in a way that's going to lead us to Tov in the end. Vehifitz Hashem etchem ba'ami. Maze vehifitz? Maze lafitz? To disperse you. I'm going to intentionally disperse you, break you up, bring you into an individual state when I take you out into the other nations. When you go into exile, it will be as individuals. Again, hear that word, which God will guide you to there. And there you will do idolatry, and after you do that idolatry and realize the error of your ways, pasuk chavtet. Uvikashtem. Margalit, singular or plural? Uvikashtem, plural. Uvikashtem misham et Hashem Elokecha. From there, and only there, in a place of exile, you will seek God. Umatzata, Hannah, singular. From there, you as Klal Yisrael will all seek God. But in what way will you need to find God in Galut? You will need to find God as individuals. Ki tidrishenu, and only if you seek God bechol levavecha uvechol nafshecha. And again, hinting to and connecting our two paragraphs here in Nitzavim, batzar lecha umitzaucha kol avim ha'ila b'acharit hayamim. All of these things will happen to you at the end of days. V'shavta ad Hashem elokecha v'shamata b'kolo, and you will return to Hashem your God as each as individuals and hear His voice. Why? And we talked about this in Parshat Bechanan. Ki kel rachum Hashem elokecha. Because God has mercy on you, because God is giving you the opportunity to return to Him. What's the nature of the tshuva that's happening here? The tshuva has to happen on the level of an individual. Because history works like that. Because history brings us all the way back, because Judaism is full, I think we talked about this in one of the other shiurim recently, is full of circles. Always coming back around. And we rubber band all the way back to our very origins. And as we stand there in galut in the darkness, where there's no clarity amongst us at all, there's no clarity around us at all, HaKadosh Baruch Hu challenges us and says, it may not seem like you can find me, but if you search for me with all of your heart and with all of your soul in that darkness, if you ignite your Avraham Avinu genes, Avraham Avinu had no klal to fall back on. Avraham Avinu had no klal to turn to. He was on his own. He defined himself as Avraham HaIvri. I don't know if he defined himself that way, but that's what he's referred to. Avraham Ivri, that the whole world was standing on one side, and he was over, he was standing on the entire other side of that wall of the water. He singled himself out and on his own, in isolation, through his own investigations, through making it real for him, he found God. Not because anybody told him to. In fact, the whole world was telling him the opposite. His own household was telling him the opposite, selling idols. Avraham Avinu said, no, I've looked and I've looked and I've seeked and I've thought and I've struggled and I've come to the unquestionable conclusion after that work has been done that there is one God and He is the one I'm going to serve and whatever anybody thinks does not matter. That's what we're forced into at the end of days. Each one of us has to find our Avraham Avinu side, our Sarai Imeinu side, has to find that side within us. Has to go through the internal work of making our connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu real on a level of lev and nefesh, b'chol levavecha, u'b'chol nafshecha. There's no way around it. You can't just grow up in a religious community. You can't just go to a Jewish day school. You can't just go to a seminary. You can't just have a good chevra. You can't just go along, row, row, row your boat merrily down the stream. You can't just follow it down the stream. You can't let the tide take you where it will and think that that's going to be sufficient. The challenge at the end of days, whether things are set up for success or not set up for success, and both of them have different challenges, because if the ultimate goal is not just to do good, but to be good, but to be Ovdei Hashem, but to find God with the same level of effort that Avraham Avinu took to find a Kadosh Baruch Hu, to get to a place of Veshavta Hashem Elokecha b'chol levavecha b'chol nafshecha, it doesn't matter what your starting point is. The internal work must be done. And then we'll experience a reality of Veshavta Hashem Elokecha. As the Ramban says, if the conclusion of Parshat Ki Tavo, if those kalot are for the second galut, the final galut, which was also reflected in Parshat Vetchanan, it doesn't end in Ki Tavo. It ends with Nitzavim, the individual brit that each and every one of us accepted upon ourselves that day. That day of Zayin Adar, when Moshe Rabbeinu was going to die, that's how Rashi understands Hayom, Aten Nitzavim Hayom, on the day of my death. Zayin Adar of the 40th year in the desert at the end of Torah. We all, despite the fact that we may not have been there, we were there. We agreed to that brit and we entered into it. And only through each one of us on an individual level doing tshuva, that's what will bring about the national tshuva and the national return, the ultimate ge'ula, of a return to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, a return to Eretz Yisrael. That's the concluding paragraph of Parshat Ki Tavo. But it requires Nitzavim, because Nitzavim is the only way to get there if we go through Klal, Prat, and then back to the Klal. The Klal that will ultimately create a reality of Klal Yisrael in Bracha, in Chaim, in Chaye Olam for all generations. To reach a place of eternity. To reach a place of true Geula. Now you'll say to me, but Robbie, maybe you'll say, but Rabbi Tarnoff, I don't know, that's your call. You say to me, but Robbie, that was really intense. Was anybody here think that wasn't intense? I thought it was intense, and I was listening to myself. That was very intense. I'm a little bit frightened by that. I'm a little bit intimidated by that. I'm out. I don't know if I can do that. I'm not up for that. I don't know if the, I don't know if the Jewish people has a chance. I certainly am not going to be one to do that. There's no shot. So Moshe Rabbeinu was sensitive to that also. I'm trying to channel in my infinitesimally, that's not even a word, something, super, super small way, infinitesimally small way, a little bit of Moshe Rabbeinu, and the intensity that he must have been speaking on the last day of his life as he charged all of Klal Yisrael to find a Kadosh Baruch Hu on their own. And he knew that that sounds imposing. And that gives all the more weight to the beautiful psukim that follow in the next paragraph. Perek Lamed Pasuk Yud Aleph. Ki ha-mitzvah hazot, which many mefarshim understand to mean the mitzvah of tshuva, which we just talked about in the previous paragraph. Ki ha-mitzvah hazot asher anochi mitzavacha hayom, this mitzvah which I'm telling you about of tshuva, don't worry, and don't psych yourselves out, and don't trick yourselves. Lo nifleitu mimcha, velo rechokahi. It's not hidden from you, and it's not distant. Lo vashamayim, such incredible poetry. Lo vashamayim ilimor. Mi alelanu ashamayim avikacheh alanu v'yashmi'enu otav v'nasena. It's not in the heaven for you to say, who can ascend to the heaven and take it for us, so that we can listen to it and perform it. And it's not across the sea. It's not across the sea for you to say who can cross to the other side of the sea for us and take it for us so that we can listen to it and perform it. Ki karov eilecha hadavar me'od. Tshuva is so close. It's not just karov. Karov elecha hadavar me'od. So close that it's beficha uvilvavcha la'asoto. It's already in your mouth. It's already in your heart. It's right there. Each and every single one of us as the individual in Klal Yisrael took upon ourselves the brit of nitzavim. We can choose life. We can choose tov. We can create ge'ulah. It requires work. It requires effort. It requires sacrifice. But I'm promising you, says Moshe Rabbeinu, ki karov eilecha hadavar me'od beficha uvilvavcha la'asoto. It's already in your mouth. Say the words. It's already in your heart. Peel away those layers and let it pour forth. You're already there. If you let yourself. Because I'm telling you that the choice is yours. There's no other mitigating factor. The choice is yours. Therefore, with this new perspective, I charge you, says Moshe. Re'ei natati lefanecha hayom et hachayim ve'et hatov ve'et hamavet et hara. I'm promising you, says Moshe. Promising you today, before you there stands life and good and death and evil. Two choices right in front of you. What is chayim? What is true life? How do you define life? How do you define tov? To love HaKadosh Baruch Hu and to walk in His ways and to keep His mitzvot. And then you'll increase and HaKadosh Baruch Hu will show you bracha in the land that you're coming forward to inherit. To inherit. But if your heart turns away, and if your heart turns away, then I will wipe you out from this land. Your choice. You can choose Chaim and Tov. Which I heard here, I guess, maybe being influenced by the Re'ei Psukim. I understood it as that Chaim and Tov is Asher Anochim is Chayom le'ahava, which is to go forward and just to automatically and naturally find that Ahava and Halicha b'drachav and Lishmor mitzvotav, as opposed to how is it phrased in the negative? Not unlike Parshat Re'ei. Ve'im. You have to actively choose the opposite. I suspect that that's also underneath the surface here, like it was in Parshat Re'ei. And again, if you do actively choose the opposite, you'll be thrown out of the land and everything will go bad. Pasuk Yutet. Ha'idoti v'chem hayom. I am testifying against you today with my witnesses at the Shemayim v'et ha'aretz, against the heaven and the earth. Hachaim v'hamavet natati lefanecha, habracha v'hakala, both layers now of kitavo nitzavim coming together. Moshe Rabbeinu said, I am putting before you today chaim and mavet. It's a choice. Bracha or klala, it's a choice. And I am begging you, says Moshe Rabbeinu, because it's not easy and it's not simple and the world will try to pull you in the opposite direction. But I'm begging you, says Moshe Rabbeinu, I'm dying today. And this is the last thing, says Moshe Rabbeinu, that I'm asking you. I'm dying today. And the end of Torah says, please, Moshe Rabbeinu is begging us. Uvacharta b'chayim. Choose life. Choose life. L'man tichya ata v'zarecha, that you and your children should live. And what is choosing life? Again, emphasizing the point, driving it home. That choosing life is inherently what is the content of life. What does it really mean to live, to choose life? Li'ahavat Hashem Elokecha, lishmoa b'kolo l'davkabo. To love HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Living means a life of love. Of loving HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who is a God of love. Lishmoa b'kolo, to listen to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, l'davkabo, to cling to God, closeness to God, is tov, is life. Ki hu chayecha, because He is your life. Ki hu chayecha, the orech yamecha, and gives you days. He gives you eternal life and days in this world. Lashevet ala adama shenishpashem lavotecha l'Avraham Yitzchak l'Yakov latit lahem. To live in Eretz Yisrael, to have all of those things come together. A closest to a Kadosh Baruch Hu, an infinite life, connection to the infinite, in the land of the infinite, in Eretz Yisrael, with a God who is infinite for all time. That's what Moshe Rabbeinu demands of us, begs of us. That's life. To walk into a covenant with the Kadosh Baruch Hu as an individual. If you live at the end of days like we do, to find God as an individual, and to do tshuva as an individual, to bring all of Klal Yisrael back together. Because b'ficha u'bilvavcha latzto, because it's so close. It's so close for you to just see that there's a choice of life and death. Tov and ra, bracha and klala. Choose life. Choose tov. Choose bracha. Choose a life of love. Choose a life of connectivity with the Kadosh Baruch Hu. Choose a life of Torah and mitzvot. A life that's vibrant and alive. Because that will bring you to eternal life and an eternal land. Nikuda. What else is there to say? That's how I understand the narrative of Parshat Nitzavim. And the beautiful complementary nature of Nitzavim to Kitavo. As Moshe Rabbeinu, on the last day of his life, brings us into our final brit with the Kadosh Baruch Hu, this twofold brit of the national level and the personal level, and shows us how, if, or maybe when, things go wrong, how we pave the way to get back, to get from, as we move klal to prat, back to the klal, the ultimate klal of joining together as whole, unique individuals who have found a Kadosh Baruch Hu on our own, draw ourselves together as one, to create a revelation of the infinite oneness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu in Eretz Yisrael. B'shavat Hashem, we should be zocha, each and every one of us, to internalize these messages, to find HaKadosh Baruch Hu on our own, together as one, and ourselves march back to Eretz Yisrael and see the rebuilding of the Beit HaMikdash and a return to a closer with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. B'mehira b'yameinu.
Amen.